back here again. I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of Luke in chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15, I've been praying about what the Lord would have me to preach tonight. And it seems he's led me to this portion of scripture here. I'm going to read the entire chapter tonight, Luke chapter number 15. And if you're able to, I would invite you to stand and reading, honor the reading of God's word tonight. If you're not, then I completely understand. But the book of Luke in chapter number 15, starting with verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. This is a particular portion of the chapter that I want to look at, verse number 11. And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. And let us eat, and be merry, for this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants, and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother is dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. Let's go on to a word of prayer. You may be seated. Our Father, we thank you for the day that you have given to us. We thank you for your mercy and your grace, Father. We thank you for the privilege it is to be in your house yet again another day, Father. I pray that you'd be with me as I stand behind the sacred desk and preach. I pray that you give me the message upon my heart, Father. Give me the words to say as I stand up here. You know that I'm nervous, Father. I need thy strength. God, I pray that you'd be with those that are here tonight, that there be one that's here in person or watching by the way of live stream. They're lost without Christ. There's never been a day or an hour in their life when they made that decision to accept Christ as their personal Savior. I pray that you would deal with that hurt. I pray pray that you would convict that heart, and may they realize their need for salvation. And then, Father, I pray that maybe there's one here, and maybe they're going through a difficult time in their life. Maybe they're searching for peace. I pray that you'd give them what they need in their hearts today, Father. And God, I just pray that you bless the remainder of the service and use it for your glory tonight. Thank you for all that you do. We love you. And we ask these things in your name. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Luke chapter number 15 right here in verses 1 through 2, it explains this, that we see that our Lord is given the three parables to the Pharisees and to the publicans, the sinners, explaining the parables of losing the one person. And he explains the three parables to show that in heaven there is rejoicing when there is one found. One person comes to truly know Christ as their personal Savior. You know, notice in verses 4 through 7, we see the parable of the lost sheep. I've heard, and it says right there that he left the 99 just for the one. If you lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it. You know, I'm very thankful that the Lord has done that for me in my personal life. It's been about 10, 11 years now since I've been saved. I got saved January the 1st, 2014. The Lord convicted my heart, and I realized my need for salvation. I called upon the name of the Lord, and he came, asked him to come into my heart, and he saved me. And, you know, I'm thankful for that. You know, verses 8 through 10, we see the parable of the lost coin, how that the woman lost her coin, and she went all throughout the house with a candle and was searching for it diligently until she found it. And finally, she found it, and she rejoiced in finding that. They had a little party with the neighbors and stuff. Now, verses 11 through 32 is a particular portion of this text that I want to look at tonight, and it is the parable of the lost son. You know, majority of these verses right here, verses 11 through 32, places emphasis on the younger son. It places emphasis on seeing that he had gone astray. And it is commonly noticed that the son made wrong decisions in wasting his substance with righteous living. He took his father's inheritance and he went out to a far country and wasted it on righteous living. He wasted it on things that were not honoring to God. But, you know, I cannot help but notice that the father's loving embrace and welcome arms as his son returns back home. He doesn't sit there and and get mad at his son for having left home, but he welcomes him back. He gives him a hug and embraces him for coming back home. You know, I'm thankful that reminds me of another story of how that God embraces us as sinners when we go out and we get into a mess in our lives. We go out and make a mess of our lives, and we're in a mess. You know, that we can always expect that God's going to embrace us. He's going to welcome us back into his loving arms, and I'm thankful for that. You know, verses 24, it says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." It says that once again in verse number 32, "It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." That brought me to, reminded me of the song Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I began to research the history of that song. And it was written about 2.5 centuries ago in the year of 1772. Many of you may know the story behind the song, but the words for the beloved song were born from the heart and mind of the Englishman John Newton. Knowing the story of John Newton's life as a slave trader and the journey he went through before writing the hymn will help us to understand the significance of each of these words within the song. Having lived through a rather unfortunate and troubled childhood, his mother had passed away when he was just 6 years old. John Newton spent years fighting against authority, going so far as trying to desert the Royal Navy in his 20s. Later abandoned by his crew in West Africa, he was forced to be a servant to a slave trader, but was eventually rescued. On the return voyage to England, a violent storm hit and almost sank the ship, prompting Newton to begin his spiritual conversion as he cried out to God to save them from the storm. Upon his return, however, Newton became a slave ship master, a profession in which he served for several years, bringing slaves all the way from Africa all the way up to England. Over multiple trips, he admitted to sometimes treating the slaves terrible. In 1754, after becoming violently ill on a sea voyage, Newton abandoned his life as a slave trader, the slave trade, and seafaring, altogether wholeheartedly devoting his life unto God's service. He was ordained as a minister in 1764 and became quite popular as a preacher and hymn writer, penning some 280 songs, among them the Great Amazing Grace, which first appeared in the only hymns printed by Newton and later set to the popular tune of New Britain in 1835 by William Walker. It was in later years that Newton fought alongside William Wilberforce, leader of the parliamentary campaign to abolish the African slave trade. He described the horrors of the slave trade in a tract he wrote, supporting the campaign, and lived to see the British passage of the Slave Trade Act in 1807. And now we understand that the lyrics like, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Tis grace has brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. It carries a much deeper meaning than a sinner's mere gratitude. Closer to death at various times and blind to reality at others, it was John Newton. He would most assuredly not have written Amazing Grace if he didn't go through this past, if he didn't go through these trials and tribulations in his life. You know, the Lord's working on each of our hearts and lives. We've each got a testimony of our very own. I want to take a moment to share with you my personal testimony. I know Brother Steve shared with y'all last Wednesday night that I'm going through Bible college right now, and I want to take a moment just kind of explain all that to you. As I said just a moment ago, January the 1st, 2014, I got saved at the age of 7 years old at the time. I've attended church all my entire life. There was never a day that we were not in church. If we were having a revival meeting, we were there. If we were having some kind of special occasion there, special event, we were there in church. And I'm very thankful that my parents made sure I was in church every opportunity that they could get. We were raised up in church there at Moriah Baptist Church. My uncle has always been the pastor all my life there. He's been the only pastor I've known, Brother Randy Lynn. Some of you may know him. But he led me to the Lord on January the 1st, 2014. Now, my testimony doesn't end there. My life has not always been perfect, and it never will be. But it was shortly after I got saved. I of course, began to read my Bible, and I began to pray and start that life with God. But then the things of the world began to get in the way of my spiritual life, and I began to head down the wrong direction. I began to make decisions that were not honoring to God and that hurt my testimony. I began to hang out with people in school that I shouldn't have hung out with, and I began to make decisions I shouldn't have made. And for some of those decisions hurt my testimony as a Christian. But I'm thankful that God seemed fit to convict my heart, and I think it was the year 2022, about April of 2022, the Lord convicted my heart about the lifestyle I was living and how that was dishonoring God. And I knelt down on my knees in prayer and asked God for forgiveness and asked him, I told him I wanted to rededicate my life unto God and I wanted to change it. I didn't want to continue going down the direction I had been going down. I wanted to live a life that was honoring to God. It was shortly after, a couple of weeks ago, that I surrendered. Began teaching a teens class, and then a couple months ago, it was December the 6th, 2023, that I surrendered to my call to preach after fighting it for quite some time because I didn't want to stand in front of crowds of people, but I finally figured if this is the Lord's will, I will do it. Whatever God wants me to do with my life, I will do it. I think sometimes it takes us as Christians, we just got to step out on faith and obey what God has laid on our heart, and that's what I did simply in my life. You know, there's a song that I was listening to on the way here. I listened to it last night as well. The first look in heaven, it's the lyrics go, I was standing on the banks of a river last night, and I gazed on a city so bright. Pearly gates were swinging open in the light. I could see pearly Jesus standing with his arms open wide. The chorus, golden trumpets were sounding. Heaven's chorus was gathering. All the angels were singing in perfect harmony. Little babies were smiling. Crippled children were walking. Blinded eyes were being opened for the first look at Christ the King. That second verse, there were many people who were waiting near the portals that day for their first glimpse of loved ones so dear. All their cares had been forgotten. All their troubles were over as they stood on that beautiful shore. Golden trumpets were sounding. Heaven's chorus was gathering. All the angels were singing in perfect harmony. Little babies were smiling. Crippled children were walking. Blinded eyes were being opened for the first look at Christ the King. Aren't you looking forward to that day when we can see Jesus as our personal Savior face to face? I'm looking forward to that day, and I believe that day is going to come soon, and I'm looking forward to that. You know, part of my testimony I didn't share with you, I come from a family that did drugs all their life. That's all they had ever known, was a life full of drugs and a life full of crime and sin. They never knew much of God. They never attended church faithfully on a regular basis. They didn't make God a priority in their lives. My parents, my dad's sitting right here in the second row, but my parents seen the life that I was, the parents, my situation that I was in, and they decided they wanted to adopt me, and they went ahead and they adopted me at the age of 21 days old, just a little thing, and I'm thankful for that. They saved me from that kind of lifestyle. I don't know, if my parents would have never adopted me, I think I would have grown up to do drugs and grown up in that kind of environment as well. And that's why I'm thankful that the Lord placed my dad in my life and my mom in my life. My mom's no longer here, as I shared with you last Wednesday. She passed away a couple of years ago from cancer. But I was born with some issues, several issues. I was born with my brain bleeding, and several things happened at birth because of the lifestyle that my mother had lived. She had done drugs, and that affected my body and my system during the birth. And there were some issues that went on, and I ended up having to stay in the hospital for quite some time. And years later, the nurses, of course, didn't figure this out when I was in the hospital, but it took a couple of years. And my mom began to notice that something was wrong with me, so she took me to several different doctor's appointments. We tried to figure out what was going on because I was failing at school. I wasn't passing any of my classes, and my grades were just getting very low, and she knew there was something going on. She took me to several doctor's appointments, and several of the doctors told her that there was nothing wrong with me. It was just I was developmentally delayed and that there was nothing wrong with me. And finally, she found the right doctor, and the doctor ran some tests on me, and he said, "Miss Lynn, I know that I've noticed there's something wrong with your son." And she began to talk to her and my dad, and she began to share with them that I was born with a hearing problem. And they began to explain that I would need hearing aids to be able to function the rest of my life, to be able to do the necessary tasks from day to day. And she decided that that would be the best option to do, is to get me hearing aids. And, of course, they did that at the age of 6 years old. And I thought that this would, maybe nothing would change as I went to school that next day. I mean, I figured I was just a normal kid, nothing wrong with me. And from that moment on, when I began to go to school, I began to realize that there was something different about me. And I began, as I would go to school and interact with different kids, I would notice that they would say something about my ears and make fun of me. And just a little six-year-old boy, I didn't understand why this was happening. I didn't understand why people would say that. And I remember one day I was on the playground, and I was sitting there playing with one of my best friends in school, and another student had come up to him and asked him, "Hey, you want to play a game with us?" And my friend agreed. He said, "Oh, sure, I will." And I said, "Hey, can I play with y'all?" And the boy looked at me and said, "No, I don't think you'll be able to function well in this game. You won't be able to hear anything that we're saying." And just a little boy, I was upset at that time. I remember I found me a place on the playground and found me a little corner where nobody was at. And I began to just put my face in my knees, and I began to cry and ask God, why did he make me the way I am? Why did I have to be different than everybody else? And days went on, and I continued to question God just about every day of my life. I continued on. This went on for a couple of years, and finally I began to understand why I was different than everybody else, and I began to realize that. And I began to realize that God had made me for a reason. He made me the way I was for a reason. And this began to build a part of my testimony. I began to make interactions with family members and made several new friends as the years went by. And one thing I was minded by each of my interactions with my family members, they told me, they said, "You know, Chance, it's amazing to see somebody who was born with a disability like that, and they never let it stop them in their life. They never let it stop them from loving God and from serving God." And today I'm thankful for that. And I still don't understand why God may be different, but I'm thankful that he's seen fit to make me the way he did. And, you know, now that I'm attending a Bible college, this is my first year, and the first year is almost coming to a close. In May, we'll be done with our first semester, or my first year, and I plan to go there for another 3 years, and then whatever the Lord's will is in my life, I'm ready to do, whether that's evangelism or pastoral ministry, just whatever it may be, I'm willing to honor God and to follow God with whatever he desires. I want to ask you, would you be willing to serve God with whatever he desires in your life? Is there maybe something that the Lord's placed on your heart about doing? Maybe some kind of service or Christian ministry? Why don't you make that decision tonight? And then if you've never been saved, I would ask you to make that decision today as well. Make that decision that you'd accept Christ as your personal Savior. You know, I've noticed that the Lord has never left me. He has never forsaken me in all my years of being saved. And I'm thankful for that. I'm very thankful that God has still been with me every step of the way. Sometimes life throws trials and tribulations. Sometimes my life gets hard and it's Sometimes it gets lonely and discouraging, but you know, I can look and see that God is with me every step of the way, and he's not forsaken me yet, and I don't think he will ever forsake me, and I'm thankful for that. Let's go into a word of prayer. Let's close. Now, Father, we thank you for the day that you have given to us.